You're listening to Graveyard Show Classic.
Good evening, friends of the undead. I am the Deacon of Darkness, the posthumous pimp, Freak Show.
And I am the Diva of Dismemberment, Mistress of the Blade, June the Meat Cleaver, from the Bordello of Horror.
You're getting your freak on with the Caretaker on the Graveyard Show.
Step into the graveyard with the Caretaker at graveyardshow.com. That is graveyardshow.com.
Podcast number 71, June 10th, 2010.
Hey, you kids. It's Carlos Borloff from the Monster Madhouse TV show. I was running around looking for monsters, and I ended up in the graveyard. Hence, I ended up on the Graveyard Show.
Into the graveyard every Thursday night, midnight Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific. Filling in this week for the Caretaker. And please welcome your host, The Undertaker.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Graveyard Show. Sitting in for The Caretaker tonight, I'm your host, The Undertaker, and the graveyard is open. It's good to be back with you all here in the graveyard. I've stopped in a couple of times recently, but now I'm back for a whole show. I hope you all enjoy. The Caretaker's taking the week off for a little rest and relaxation, but will return next week for an all-new episode. The workers are very busy tonight. As you can hear, they're opening a spot for a new guest in the graveyard, horror host Carlos Borloff. Right now we welcome to the show horror host Carlos Borloff. Carlos has traveled through space and time, fighting off monsters in his journeys. He brings the warning to the world that the monsters are coming on the hit television show Monster Madhouse Live. Carlos, welcome to the graveyard.
Hey, what's going on, man? Is this the Undertaker?
This is the Undertaker. The Caretaker couldn't do the interview this week. He's off tending to the zombies in the graveyard.
He's taking care. Right, while you're taking under.
That's right. This is an undertaking talking to you. I've seen some of your stuff, and you got some crazy stuff going on in the Monster Madhouse.
It's nuts. I'll tell you, just by looking at me, you'd never know I was only 22. You know, just doing one of these shows, man, takes years off your life. It's like, I think the equivalent to doing one public access TV show is equivalent to like 13 cartons of cigarettes or something like that.
So
yeah, it's a lot of fun, though, man. It's all recycled material. I mean, there's nothing original about any of it. You know what I mean? It's all schlock and shtick and lampoon. All the way back to Zachary Vampira. And probably, actually, we've discovered some recent cave drawings and stone tablets.
Really?
That this was being done. Horror hosting is actually being done in the pyramids. You know, if you read those tablets and stuff, those were their movies back then. You know? And the only reason they've lasted so many eons is because they are carved in stone. You know, DVDs and tapes and movies will all rot away and disintegrate over years. The only way to make something last through the eons is to carve it in freaking stone. Like, you know, Stonehenge is actually a horror host show.
Was that the set for a horror host show?
Yes, the druids. If you put all the stones back together, it's some kind of, you know, it's something like, it's all that all combined, you know. I guess the first horror hosts were really the cavemen sitting around the fire telling the story of, you know, the pterodactyl that ate Ugg that day. And everybody's sitting around the campfire going, ooh, and he's drawing a picture with, you know, berry juice or something. You know, it's telling a story of somebody else's story that's telling a story about a story that somebody else wrote.
Nice.
Yes, we are bottom feeding, scavenging, buzzards, basically. Roadkill, you know. Movie lands in the public domain, it's laying there. We all descend on it like vultures, man. You know, you can re-edit it, you can add anything, you can change stuff. And, you know, thanks to guys like Roger Corman and George Romero and all the wonderful people out there who didn't copyright their films. So, we have content.
Well, and it's alive and it's alive and living in 2010. It is the year the horror host.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
If people are going to check out Monster Madhouse Live, what is Monster Madhouse all about?
Well, it started off, of course, you know, Count Gore Duvall moved back to the Washington, D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up watching him in the 70s and the 80s, Captain 20, Bozo the Clown, all these kind of goofy costume live-action hosted kids shows, variety stuff, horror movies, science fiction, Ultraman, all the good stuff. So I met Count Gore. I assisted him on a couple of shows when he moved back, and he kind of... kind of elbowed me like, hey, you ought to give this a try. And so, you know, I whipped out a character and, a little spin on Boris Karloff there.
Yeah.
Carlos Borloff. So, just kicked it off and just started pre-taping a bunch of stuff. Our first 6 or 7 months was all pre-taped stuff at a local station, and ran into C.W. Prather, the guy who created Every Other Day is Halloween, the movie, which is burning up the charts right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he drug us over into a live situation in a TV station and kind of created the live TV show where we have a movie lined up and you just hit it and you go live, you take phone calls, hanging by a thread with no net. You just go live and make the stuff up. You can't script it. Because if you do script the show, they look scripted. They really do. You can tell the people who are just really whipping it out and the ones who have the script. But you know what I mean? That's movie making, and everybody's got their style. But our way is you can't write stuff like this. You know, it's got to come out of thin air. So we went live on TV and did that for 3 years straight until the station that we were doing the live TV show at decided to be a bunch of freaking yo-yos and... it was run by the school board and stuff, and they didn't like us, and they kind of closed the door on us for really no reason, which they're going to pay the price for one of these days. But so we went live on TV for a while. And so the past year, we've been doing pre-taped shows. Occasionally, we've gone live on the web, 3-camera shoot. We bring the whole TV show to my house here where I have a dungeon in the basement. Just a house full of monster costumes and vintage toys and crap. So we did a couple live Monster Townhouse episodes, which were a lot of fun. We had cables running all through the house, and, you know, just the whole TV station set up downstairs. And we're looking forward to going back to live TV sometime soon. There is a big advantage to doing pre-taped shows because you can go back, you can stop and get the camera angle and,
mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody was like juggling their eyeballs in the background and you didn't catch it, you can go back and hit it again. So, but also it gets into time consumption because when we go do a live TV show, man, you walk out at the end of the night with a 95% finished product. Boom, it's already been on the air. You know, hey, when does this air? Then? Just now? So live is very, very cool.
It's also very, very risky.
It's risky, but you know what? If you don't really give a crap and you have nothing to lose and you already look like a fool, then how much more of a fool can you make yourself look like? And what's anybody going to do about it? Hey, watch TV, man. It's like, whew, you know, mainstream TV. I'll tell you, people look foolish every day, man, really bad. People are hated and they're paid like so big time for it.
Yeah.
You know,
that is the truth.
There are real monsters out there to fight too, man. I mean, this oil spill that's going on down in the Gulf, man, is something that everybody really needs to set down their Facebook and their U-Space and their My Page and all that stuff and drive down there and, like, clean up some stuff. Or, I don't know, man, what can you really do? But that's a big monster.
It is.
Attacking our shores right now, killing a lot of stuff. A lot of innocents biting the dust every day, you know, these birds, and all the way down to the crickets and the little water bugs, man, they're just getting wiped. And who knows how that's going to affect us, but, you know, when you put a drop of oil in a big pan of water, you can see some of it. But but it spreads out like five times as big as what your eye can see, you know, the residue, the microbial atomic stuff from it. So they're showing this thing in the ocean the size of West Virginia. It's really the size of, you know, four West Virginias, because what you don't see is what you get. So anyway, that's real horror right there, man.
It is. There's real horror around us every day.
Mm-hmm. And our best horror hosts sometimes are newscasters.
Yeah.
Every day you can tune in at 5 o'clock. Well, a baby was grinded up in one of those things today, and they found three people frozen in the refrigerator, and nine people were killed at the mall by a madman with a bazooka. I mean, wow. You know, here's the film, you know, and it's filmed from somebody's camera or phone.
Yes, it's
real horror.
It's
real
all
horror.
Very depressing sometimes, but, you know, we got to forge on and do what we got to do, and hopefully all come together and make things work.
Yeah, real horror surrounds us, man, and it's, you know, that's why the kind of movies we grew up with back in the day, 60s and the 70s, the kids still love them today. You know, the guy in the rubber suit monster movie with the fake airplanes and the miniature sets, or the Mad Doctor, and it's all pretend anyway. It's like, you know, I like the classics where it's suspended disbelief, and the kids can't go right out and try to reenact it, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, some of these slasher movies, Hostel and all this crap, it's like, you know, I mean, hey, they make great movies, but you know what? I don't like it. I mean, it's not my taste. I don't call that horror. It's shock cinema, you know? But there's no monster movies anymore, so we have to go back and take these old ones. Or make our own monster movies, which is another plan that we'd have here very soon.
Really?
Yeah.
So how long has your show actually been in production?
Since early 2006 is when we started going into the TV stations. And started off as just short 10-minute skits that we aired on other people's programs. So that's when we really started doing it on TV. I've been horror hosting since I was 7.
Really?
And, you know, in my room with the Haunted Mansion record poster board over the curtains to make it feel like nighttime. You got all your Aurora models set up around the room and, you know, trying to pretend like it's Halloween.
So what were some of the horror hosts that you grew up with?
Cal Gore Duvall.
Cal Gore.
Of course, the ghost host out of Baltimore, who we could barely pick up on the big rabbit ear antenna.
It looks a little better through the snow on the TV, doesn't it?
Oh, it was awesome, man. You know, you could stand in front of the TV and, like, lift your arm up and it changes the picture. And then sooner or later, it's like you're part of the show, really. You know, hey, look, I'm in the movie. And then there was, when I was a wee lad, I guess it was, we moved to this area in like 1970, Sir Graves Gastly was actually on CBS back then. He would actually fly down here from Detroit to do special shows for DC.
Wow.
That were on CBS. And God only knows that copies don't exist. I mean, you know, who had a VCR in 1970?
Yeah.
You know. So, they technically say, though, that with airwaves and old UHF and VHF and AM and FM signals, like in that movie where the dude tunes in to his dad's old ham radio and he's talking to his dad back in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they say that all those frequencies, they shoot out into space. They don't rot or deteriorate. They keep going.
They're just floating around out there.
So somewhere out in Alpha Centauri, somebody's watching Sir Graves Gastly. And I hope they're taping it, because I want a copy.
What are some of the other characters on your show?
Oh, my. It goes way back. We've had tons of characters, man. In the beginning, Sally the Zombie Cheerleader was one of our, you know, first guest characters we had. Dr. Elixir, Gizmo, Countess Contessa, Vanessa. A lot of people have come and gone over the years. We've had the Pumpkin Punk, Dangerous Dan, all kinds of mad doctors. Currently, we have Dr. Anomaly as our 400-pound guy on our show, the big guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he's awesome. We've got Sasha, who is, she will kill you.
Wow.
She's a living doll kind of thing, and pretty sassy. And, of course, we've got the ever-present Lizard Man, who is quite a riot. we've got Slow Frankenstein, who is kind of a Frankenstein. They forgot to put the brain in there, I think. You know, a lot of different characters, man. Of course, another very, very, very talented horror host, Dr. Sarcophagi.
Yeah.
Who is also known as John Dimes, is on our show frequently as Dr. Sarcophagi, but we had elected him president back around the time that Obama got elected. And to be fashionable, we chose fit to have an African-American president of Monster Island. So, you know, it's just a ton of characters, man. And it's, you know, it's kind of the thing that, you know, sometimes, I mean, we've had more horror hosts per capita here in D.C. than anywhere. We've shoved as many as 30 people on screen all at once in characters that were invented right before the show. All right, here we go. Bloom, let's go with this. We got extras. We make them up into something, give them a name, and you know, so you've pretty much got a big box of instant horror hosts. And everybody loves to roll with it, too, man. No script, no nothing. You know, you tell them who they are, this is what you look like, and this is what you do. And they do it. You know, and it's fun. And these days, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, when I was growing up and trying to make it in the music biz, you had to have a deal and a manager and $100 bucks an hour studio time and talent and all this other crap. And, you know, you couldn't get on TV, man. There were 7 stations, whatever. You couldn't get broadcast anywhere. Nowadays, these kids are born into a world with YouTube and VO and Vimeo and MySpace and Facebook and public access TV. So there's a huge market to where people can just publish their goods and display their art forms. And, you know, cameras are cheap now. You can make, you know, what your average laptop can do with a basic Windows Movie Maker is more than a whole movie editing studio could do 30 years ago. It's pretty much, you know, you gotta think that, hey, how much of this technology did they get from Area 51? You know, because before then, man, we were still rubbing sticks together. And, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff has changed. Mad scientists are real now. So are monsters, so is everything, man. It's like, wow. But it also makes you look back, and you can see through a couple of tricks they try to pull over our eyes. I mean, who wonders if there was a movie called Capricorn 1, where they talked about the moon landing fake?
Yes.
Back in the day. And I don't think it was, because they tell me, don't think that, but, you know, I've seen photographs that they've taken in the desert that match up with the backgrounds on the moon or on Mars to exact rock faces and stuff. And, you know, and also, they went to the moon in, what, 68, 69?
Mm-hmm.
With analog, total analog technology. You know, old-fashioned fire and brimstone stuff. By today's dollars, if they could, they could still work. It would still take you to the moon. And that old technology, why aren't we there all the time? Why did they stop? You know, if it was that easy, because by today's dollars, that technology like that, $100,000.
It does kind of make you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or maybe they are up there. But I don't know. It's pretty wacky. And also, of course, when you see the moon, film of that space lander thing on the moon when they were coming back, and they got the camera on and the thing goes pop and it shoots up in the air and the camera follows it upwards, dude. The camera pans up with it. It's like, wait, did they leave somebody behind to pan the camera?
I've never thought about that.
Yeah, who's moving the camera? Aliens, man.
Aliens.
Yes. Mexicans.
So you guys do your show live occasionally, but you film in D.C. What channels are you on? Where can people check it out?
Well, we're on locally in Washington, D.C. area on like Channel 10, Channel 38, Channel 69 in Arlington. It goes all the way down almost to Richmond out here. We used to be on FCC TV in Falls Church, which sucks. They're the ones that closed the door on us and are very anti public access, very anti-freedom of speech, and they're liars and all this other crap. You know, we left an old cast member behind with them so that they could just enjoy their crappiness all together. But we also just started in York, Pennsylvania. There's a WRT Television, I think it's called.
W-O-R-T?
W-O-R-T or something. We're going to be starting out in California here soon. And occasionally we're seeing via other horror hosts in the Horror Host Underground, like Bojangler and Penny Dreadful, Dr. Dreck. They'll air our programs out in suburban Chicago, up in New England, down in Arkansas. Uncle Lar, who is the guy who kind of runs the whole distribution network of the Horror Host Underground, he sends out a lot of stuff. So, yeah, we're on all kinds of stations and going back out to Hollywood again this summer to pitch to all the major networks again.
Nice.
To a group called NATPE, National Association of Television Program Executives, which is a neat organization where that's how I ended up stumbling onto the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, was by attending one of these things. And of course, I go to all business meetings and seminars in full costume.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you
unlike,
almost have
to. You know, kids. Right, right. Well, like kids back in the day, you know, they'd show up for a radio interview or something, and they're just them. Yeah. No. I just stay dressed up as Borloff 24 hours a day. Cause, you know, you stay in character, and you get work done.
And nobody really looks at you twice if you're in L.A., right?
Right, right. Well, what's the guy's name with the green dude with the big puffy hair out there in Wisconsin? What's his name?
Freak Show, I believe.
That's really what that guy looks like. Is the crazy part. That is, you can imagine the results he gets.
Well, I've never met the guy in person, but yeah, I've heard he's kind of crazy.
Right, right.
So you said occasionally you do your show live. I know you're friends with Miss Monster. Did you get a chance to check her out on the 100 Years of Monster movies?
I did get a chance to watch that, and actually got the second half. Also got the chance to finally meet the gal in person, along with the Melons and all the behind-the-scenes people and everything out of the Horror Hound in Indiana Place, Indiana.
Oh, yeah, I heard that was a great event. We talked with Jason Hignight before and after the event.
That was a great event, man. Everybody out there was so cool. I've never been to that part of the country before, and I just, wow, the people were great and from everywhere. So far, as far as I can tell, world record gathering of horror hosts ever that has been assembled. I mean, there was over 80 TV and web live type horror hosts all together. You've seen the pictures and all that stuff, man. It's great. And, you know, it was a tribute to Vampyra, really on the 55th anniversary of horror hosting. You know, 1955, I guess, is when it all kicked in. And, of course, now there are more horror hosts than there have ever been at any time other than the Egyptians and the cavemen.
That's right. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Right. It's a good time. It's a good time. And a lot of people are doing it. Every day, there's a new horror host popping up. You know, Dr. This, Professor That, Captain Crunch, you know, all kinds of stuff. And it's great, you know, seeing it pop up. And younger and younger people, we boast the youngest horror host in the country on our show, actually. The SOB, Son of Borloff, is seven. And kid's ready to host a show all of his own, man. He's good to go. And we've got little 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds on the show, because kids love it, man. And when kids see other kids on the shows, they love it. And yeah, that's why we try to stick with the bubblegum content, because, you know, when I was a kid, I was 8, 9, 10 years old when this stuff hit me over the head, when I loved it. And that's when you fall in love with this kind of stuff, and rock and roll music and monster movies and all that stuff. And that's when your personality is being defined. And nowadays the kids have Freddy Krueger, Jason, and I guess those are even antiques to them, but they really don't have anything. They got their Iron Man and their X-Men and all the Transformers and stuff, which is all recycled from way back in our day, but there are no new stuff. I mean, you know, you get the I just went to see the Human Centipede. Ah, you know, those are the kind of movies they're making now, you know. It's like the closest thing I've seen to an old school monster movie is 5 years ago, Cloverfield. Whatever that was a great giant monster movie. It wasn't remake of Attack of the Titans, or, you know, remake of this or a remake of that or a redo of this. You know, they need to do away with the redos and the remakes.
And I guess they kind of did show, they did kind of show the monster about as much as they did in some of the older films, too.
Right, right. And that's half of the thing. It's what you don't see that's scary, man. Because, you know, in this day of just full-on frontal this and that, and they just show it all to you. And how you can only get shocked to a certain degree to where even the most graphic, violent crap is boring.
Mm-hmm.
That's dangerous. So start rewinding that a little bit. The kids now, they're setting down their computer games and stuff, and they're going out and buying guitars and drums. You know, they like, you know, Halloween's the biggest summer holiday of the year. You know, they like to get made up and go out and play and jump around. The problem now is the kids, you know, past 10, 15 years, everybody's playing it in front of their box. You know, you got to get up, go outside, you know, light some model kits on fire. You know, go dig a hole. Go, go outside and play, you know. And at the same time, of course, the internet, to go shopping, because we used to expend a lot of energy as kids running around the toy store, bringing the stuff home, playing with it, getting it stuck in the tree, trying to get it out. Nowadays, you push a button and the thing shows up at your door in the mail.
Right.
And then you keep it in the box, put it up on the shelf in a case, you know.
Uh-huh.
You toys we had.
You don't play with it at all.
Right, they're collector's items. You know, back when we were kids, you know, Superman number one, Batman number one, Dr. Evil and Captain Action and G.I. Joe and all that stuff, they were made to be used and destroyed. The paper wasn't made to last, and they weren't sealed or numbered or anything like that because, you know, they're toys. They're supposed to be consumed. Old comic books, it's like new comic books. I won't buy one of them. I don't like them. They're garbage. I don't care who's doing the art, whatever. It's made to be a collector's item. And they're $5-7 a piece. It's like, sorry. It's like, no. Printed on newsprint. Like a comic book, man. You know, they don't make them like that anymore. Well, I guess they probably do. But I don't know. To me, everything, all that stuff has become capitalized collector's items. Now, there's a lot of great underground stuff. You know, people are popping out themselves on newsprint. You know, you open a comic book up, and it doesn't have that smell, that comic book smell.
Yep.
I just got one of those new slick comic books the other day. You open it up, it smells like cat piss. I'm like, whoa! Where's that old attic smell? But yeah, I like old school. I think it's all coming back. That's why horror hosting is so popular now. And the funny stuff is all the classics. I mean, you know, because that's what everybody shows is the basic, you know, the old movies, because they're available. But there's as many that are great from those eras that aren't available, and unfortunately nobody ever sees Reptilicus. Nobody ever sees Frankenstein Meets the Space Monster. Some yo-yo owns the copyright to it, and they're like, bah! They got it up on the shelf. You know, they need to shake some of those things loose. Even Toho Studios for Godzilla. Shame on them. You know, the kids don't get to see those movies now.
No, they
yet
definitely
they have
don't.
Toys. They got the toys everywhere, and they're trying to sell the toys. But hey, kids don't know what this stuff is. The adults are buying it and putting it up on the shelf, and it's like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it definitely is sad.
All my toys got destroyed when I was a kid. They all got buried in the yard and burned up or broken. And that's a happy toy.
So, you know, I actually got a chance to check out Ms. Monster on her her live thing on 100YMM, and
yeah,
I thought it went great. Are you guys planning on doing any of that?
We are going to do that on July the 2nd, 100YMM.com, July 2nd, from Washington, D.C., Independence Day weekend. Perfect combination. We're going to be live from the House of Vorloff, probably a three-camera shoot. And we're throwing it to the wind because, you know, we're not really much about showing the whole movie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're going to break into this thing a lot. And we're going to, you know, if we're not showing the movie will be on in the background somewhere on the screen, on TV or something. But we're going to show, as of right now, The Lost World, which is a silent classic.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will be performing our own original live soundtrack to the silent movie. No pre-recorded stuff. It's going to be original live soundtrack on that. And tentatively, The Beast of Hollow Mountain, which is another dinosaur flick.
Mm-hmm.
Cowboys versus dinosaurs. You know, we're trying to bring in some monsters here, man. I love 100 YMM, but we got to get some monster movies happening here, man. We don't want horror. We want monsters.
You're saying you're going to do a live soundtrack. Now, is that the Monster Madhouse band that's going to do that?
Partially. Depends on who's in the band that day.
Oh.
Definitely our maestro on our show, the Paul Schaefer of Monster Madhouse, is the maestro, Adam Levowitz. He's a conductor. He plays in the U.S. Army band, as well as conduct several local orchestras and stuff. And the guy's a one-man orchestra. So he's going to be playing. I'm going to be playing along a little bit of guitar. We let the girls just kind of pick up anything they want and make noise with it. You know, whatever fits with the movie. So The Lost World, of course, goes back into prehistoric times. So there'll be a lot of drums going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some real classic caveman-y kind of stuff. Caveman music.
Caveman music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're talking about the Monster Madhouse band. I just read somewhere that you might have an opportunity to open up for the band Kiss.
Kiss.
I'm guessing you're a pretty big fan of Kiss.
Oh, I love Kiss, man. I mean, having grown up in the 70s, they created heavy metal as we know it. And it's like, wow. I was lucky enough to be 10 years old when that stuff was happening. And it just, you know, there's a whole lot of bands influenced by that these days, as you can tell, left and right. They come out of the whole Alice Cooper, New York Dolls kind of thing, which got a little bit transvesty kind of for me, but, you know, of course, Led Zeppelin and the hard rock from back then, but, you know, Zeppelin, those guys, they were all dressed up. They were all hippies with beads on and a lot of bracelets and stuff. And, yeah, Kiss is great, and we've jumped into a contest. As much as I hate doing contests and competing, you know, because it's like, yeah, I only want to compete if I'm going to win, and I don't want to lose. So we are, let's say, eventful.com. We're opening in the lineup to open for Kiss in Bristow, Virginia.
Okay.
In August. So you can actually go to monstermadhouse.com. It's right on our front page. It's a big yellow button. And you push that, and blam, you're voting for us to open for Kiss. And they're going to pick from the top five bands 2 weeks before the show. They're going to pick. Their management and Kiss is going to pick from the top five on who's going to open the show. So we're really trying to, we're up at number six right now, man. We're trying to get in that top five. And, you know, eventful.com, look for Monster Madhouse, vote for us to open for Kiss. It would be great.
Yeah, I think you guys are the perfect opening band for Kiss. That's a one-time gig that you get to open for?
Right. I believe so. And, you know, I've met Gene, I've met Paul. I met Ace Frehley. Haven't met Peter Criss, even though Ace and Peter aren't in the band. You know, it's Tommy Thayer and Eric Idle, yeah, from Monty Python. That's the guy playing for Kiss now. So, I remember when Ozzy shaved his head way back in the day when Randy Rhoads died.
Mm-hmm.
1982, I was going to that concert. It was Randy Rhoads died the concert before he was supposed to come to D.C. I was, like, worshiping Randy Rhoads, you know, guitar god. Ozzy shaved his head, and when the concert finally came around, he came out bald and played all Black Sabbath music. I was up in the nosebleeds looking down at Ozzy going, wow, it's Benny Hill.
Benny Hill
was awesome.
He didn't have the Benny Hill music going on, did he?
Not really. At times it sounded like it. But, you know, there's another influence, too, on a lot of hosts, is stuff like Monty Python, Benny Hill, the Pink Panther, you know, all that kind of stuff all rolls into this shtick. And, you know, a lot of people go with traditional Universal-style horror movies, more European-style. People do. It's different with everybody, but it looks like a really nice renaissance. This whole thing is really exploding, and I'm sure that sometime within the next year it's going to start becoming big news. Of course, even Elvira's getting back into the game. We all met her out at Horror Hound, and she saw all these horror hosts and stuff. She's like, I better get back to work. But she's a lovely gal, And, you know, she's coming back with Movie Macabre this fall. And, of course, 100 Years of Monster Movies, 100YMM.com is going to be going all the time. He's going to try to get all the hosts eventually to come in and do shows pre-taped and live.
That would be so awesome.
A lot of stuff to look forward to. We're doing a lot at MonsterMadhouse.com. Trying to keep that upgraded every couple of weeks. Our webmaster is Corpse S. Chris, who runs the Horror Host Graveyard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've had him on the show before. Actually, just prior to the Vampire Tribute, we had him on the show.
That is a very helpful dude who is really fanning the flames. And, you know, he keeps that newsreel, ticker tape thing going of all the Horror Hosts, which is great.
Yeah.
Of course, these days, I mean, with Facebook and stuff, it's like... The internet's really kicking everything in the butt, man. There are no more record stores. There's no more toy stores. There's no more video stores. It's all push the button and you get it on demand, live, or delivered straight to your door. You know, so really there's no other place to go get it other than TV or the web with anything. I really think... you know, with markets, because I used to love, I grew up going to toy stores and record stores. You could spend an afternoon in the record store, man, flipping through stuff, holding it in your hand, looking at the back cover, finding stuff you'd never find. Now, when you're on the web and you're shopping for something, you find what you're looking for, you order it, and you close it. You know, of course, there's stuff bombarding you left and right to watch this, do this, do this, do that, and you click on this, and it takes you away from what you were looking for, and you end up kind of a whirlpool kind of thing, which, you know, in a store, you can turn your head and see something. On that screen, you're pretty much, they can throw whatever at you they want, but there's a lot of peripheral stuff that you don't get to see. So many bands. I mean, a dime a dozen, literally, because, you know, when I was a kid growing up, most people's moms and dads weren't in rock bands when they were growing up, so now you've got two generations of kids whose granddads were in rock bands, rock bands and stuff. You know, so it's kind of become an American pastime, but all these kids are now looking back at the Beatles and Zeppelin and the 70s stuff, and they're digging the earthy guitar tones and the drums and the keyboards. So at that same level, the classic horror movie stuff, the old school low-tech analog guy in a rubber suit kind of stuff, I think is just positioned to come back in.
It definitely is.
Yes.
Well, Carlos, it's been a great pleasure talking to you tonight. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about the show or anything else that you've got going on?
Well, just please go to MonsterMadhouse.com and go to the front page and vote for us to open for KISS. We really want to do this, take the Horror Host thing out and throw it out in front of people and, you know, just help to fan these flames, man. We want to open for KISS. It's Eventful.com or MonsterMadhouse.com. You can hit the button. Of course, 100YMM.com on Friday nights, HorrorHostGraveyard.com to see the latest and greatest of who's doing what to who with what. And, of course, your wonderful website, which is?
GraveyardShow.com.
Yeah, we got to get a link to that up on MonsterMadhouse.com, man. We're in the process of getting that all linked up, so it's kind of one-stop shopping. You can go in there and watch everybody's stuff.
Excellent. Well, Carlos, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the Graveyard tonight, and I want to say just keep up the good work and best of luck opening up for KISS.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it, man. And keep on undertaking and taking under. And by all means, tell the caretaker to take care.
I will. You have a good night, Carlos.
Thank you. Adios.
Thank you again, Carlos. Now, for a very special treat, a little sample of the Monster Madhouse Band with Die Monster Die.
Something's not right.
Once again, I'd like to thank Carlos Borloff for stepping into the graveyard with us tonight. We'd also like to remind you that on July 17th, the 2010 Viscera Film Festival will be premiering at the Downtown Independent located at 251 South Main Street in Los Angeles. For all the show and ticket information, go to www.thechainsawmafia.com. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening to the podcast. Now, as we close down the graveyard, I'd like to remind you, as you exit, please lock the gate behind you. We wouldn't want anyone to get out. Until next time.
By Miss Misery. Follow her journey through the horror genre as we discover the inner workings of the horror world. Visit thelastdoorwayshow.com.
Good evening, friends of the undead. This is the Deacon of Darkness, the posthumous pimp, Freak Show.
And I am the diva of dismemberment, mistress of the blade, June the Meat Cleaver.
Myself, along with the Harlots of Horror, host the online video podcast, Bordello of Horror. Check out all the twisted fun with featured films, news, interviews, reviews, and more.
I personally dare you to step into the Bordello at MadisonHorror.com.
That's MadisonHorror.com.
Hurry, hurry,
hurry, step right up.
The most amazing tales appear
before your
very eyes,
gathered from the four
corners of Earth and brought here to you
at 19
Nocturne Boulevard.
See
the famous man-eating book of Sumatra. Or a phantom
direct
from merry old England.
Oh, whoa.
Or aliens
from beyond the stars.
Even such as these cannot withstand our platinum death ray.
Yes, our platinum death ray!
All these and more
spread out
before you.
And all
we ask is a moment of your time.
Spin the wheel.
And take a chance.
Try your luck.
www.19nocturneboulevard.net.
Hey fans, it's Ken Forey. Just want to tell you about Mail Order Zombie. Great company. They review zombie films, any zombie film, every zombie film. And it's something you should tune into. So if you get a chance, go to the website, look these guys up, Mail Order Zombie, and find out what the hot zombie films are today. What's going on? These guys are right on the cutting edge of reviewing zombie movies. And if you're a zombie, or you want to be a zombie, or you're thinking about being a zombie, or your mom's a zombie, your dad's a zombie, or your damn mother-in-law's a zombie, tune into Mail Order Zombie, baby. You'll find out what's going on. Ken Forey, and that's out.